Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our poll of the day to keep the doctor away. You can go vote right now at Grant H. Paulson. Your Grant and Danny non-sports poll on this Wednesday. By the way, what a long week. That's one thing that's happening right now for sure. These weeks feel like 3 weeks, don't they?
Yes, especially, again, if you are like me and you have children that are at home. So we've had 2 days. This is right. The second one now where the weather stinks. It's cold and rainy. Not a lot of outside time. These minutes drag.
Yeah, like Tress Way was on the show 2 days ago playing What's in Tress Way's
Six
Hand.
Months. 6 months ago, it feels like to me.
I can barely remember doing that. Last week we did shows like the start of free agency or I'm trying to think of moves. The Redskins brought in Kendall Fuller. That feels like it was in June.
Yeah, these
days are just dragging. But anyway, the poll today on this Wednesday, I believe it is Wednesday because I just looked on the calendar. We're asking you of the four highest grossing actors of 2019, which one do you like the most? The Rock, Sam Jackson, Chris Hemsworth, and Chris Pratt. I could tell you that it hadn't been a good day for Thor, either Hemsworth or Noah Syndergaard, who's getting Tommy John surgery. Chris Hemsworth is dead last in the poll.
Oh, bummer.
The Rock at 39%, Sam Jackson at 27%, Pratt at 23% in a three-horse race. It might be time for Hemsworth to end his campaign and try to endorse somebody.
He'll have to fall back on being the most handsome man alive. He'll have to deal with that.
Yeah, tough day for him.
And being chiseled and incredible looking and the envy of every dude on the planet.
Every day at noon, your Beltway Blitz on the teams in town you care the most about. Let's get to it. Chris Russell is our Redskins and NFL insider. Chris, the Redskins yesterday agreed to a contract with running back Peyton Barber. Why?
Well, because he's cheap, number one. Number two, he can do a little bit more running of the football than J.D. McKissic, who they signed last week. And because we know that Adrian Peterson's 35, and, you know, I mean, you can keep hoping that he stays healthy, which he has, but I don't know if that's necessarily a smart idea. And then we know the other two, one, Geis can't stay on the field, even though he's explosive when he's on the field. And then Bryce Love, I know J.P. Finley, I've heard something similar. I know even Duke's heard something similar. And Bryce Love admitted it, that he wouldn't be fully ready for OTAs, and he had planned to be ready for training camp, but I wasn't even sure if he was absolutely going to be full go in late July as scheduled. So to me, they need somebody that is healthy, somebody that has played a ton without taking a ton of big shots, and somebody that was cheap and cost efficient.
Unstoppable force, immovable object here. This Trent Williams situation, I'm so sick of it. I think every other Redskins fan is sick of it too, Russell, but the impasse seems to be Trent Williams wants a huge contract. The Redskins want decent value, better than a third-round compensatory pick that they would probably get if he walks after they just, you know, hold him out for a season. What's going to change here?
Well, here's the thing. I don't even know, and I'm saying I don't know, if he misses all of this year, which is hard to fathom after he's basically, you know, gave up $14-plus million this year and the whole CBA, and Grant has been talking about that, and he's absolutely right. I, you know, the fines from last year, we don't know. I don't even know if the Redskins would be automatically guaranteed a compensatory pick, third, fourth round edition, like you normally would get for a player of Trent Williams' magnitude if, say, he missed all of this year and, of course, combined with all of last year. So let's start with that. But assuming that that were to happen, yeah. I mean, I think the Redskins have a blue-chip prospect, arguably, when healthy, top three at worst left tackles in the game. The problem that's killing the Redskins this year and really killing Trent, as he wants $19, $20 million a year and wants the Redskins to just give him away for free, is there's four minimum, and there might be five guys, left tackle potential stud prospects available, and that will go in the first round. And if five don't go in the first, the fifth will go early in the second at worst. That's hurting his value. That's hurting the Redskins' ability to flip that around for a pretty decent draft. They might have to look at more player as opposed to high draft pick to potentially settle this because of the glut and the quality at left tackle in this draft.
Slash, let's talk Richard Rodgers from the Redskins. Not
yes,
the coach Richard Rodgers.
No,
but
no,
the
no.
player Richard Rodgers.
Yes.
They are father and son.
The coach is his dad, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they are father and son, and now the kid, Richard Rodgers, has been signed to play tight end. He's got one catch in the last 2 years. He makes Logan Thomas yes, look ultra productive. You know how down I am on this tight end group? I think it's a disaster.
Yep.
And here's how bad I guess I think it is. I think Richard Rodgers, the former Packer, actually makes the team. Your thoughts on that?
I think he makes the team if he's healthy. When you look at his time in Green Bay, and everybody knows about the great Hail Mary catch from Aaron Rodgers on that Thursday night game in Detroit that won the game for the Packers, and which he skied and tracked the ball and all that. I mean, he's known for that. When you look at his overall production in Green Bay, he had 1 year, I think he was in the upper 50s, I want to say, in terms of catches. He is a guy who can produce. The problem is, as you mentioned, he's played eight games in 2 years. So, you know, look, if he's healthy, he's the best of a weak, mediocre, watered-down, quite honestly, question-filled bunch. I have no doubt about that. I think Logan Thomas is a really good blocker at times from what I've been able to see on tape. I don't know if Richard Rodgers is. I guess I heard he was decent. Whatever. But to me, if you can't stay on the field, you're no good to me. And I'm just surprised continuously that the Redskins continue to basically treat tight end as, oh, we're going to find the next, you know, Travis Kelce. We're going to find the next Jordan Reed in the third. Well, maybe you will. Maybe you will. But maybe you won't. And this offense desperately needs it in the red zone and on third down. And right now, I have a hard time believing they have that.
They've had a lot of success with all-venture tight ends. Russell, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you, pal. Baseball, please, Tommy. My buddy Jesse Dougherty covers the Nationals for the Washington Post. Not a lot of baseball happening right now, but Jesse's book, Buzzsaw, I do believe it is now available wherever books are purveyed. Jesse, how's the book going, man? Is it selling well? Is it getting good reviews and everything?
Yeah, everything's going well. I appreciate you asking. So it came out yesterday officially, so I no longer have to say pre-order, pre-order, pre-order. I actually just say you can order it now.
Nice.
Or, you know, like you said, call your local bookstore, go curbside, pick up, support local businesses, all that good stuff. But yeah, everything's going well, man. Everyone's excited, I think, looking for their baseball fix. Obviously, we expected to be at an exhibition yesterday, opening day tomorrow, and just it's not happening. So there's something to fill the void for a bit of time.
I got to tell you, that hits me like a brick to the face. And I know it's a small problem compared to the grand scheme of things with thousands of people having died, but in our little bubble, I can't tell you how depressing it is for a lot of our listeners who are diehard Nats fans when they hear that tomorrow was opening day.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Grant. Like in our bubble in sports, like there aren't a lot of things like opening day. Like, I mean, obviously, like, the tournament was such a big deal, first day of the tournament, but and NFL starting is fun, but the Thursday night, whatever. Like, opening day and what it signifies, you know, you're flipping the script, things are getting a little less stressful at work and school, maybe. You're kind of, like, hitting that spring-summer mode. I think what everything, it's sort of like that internal clock. When we know baseball starts, opening day begins, we kind of know it's a different time of year, and I think we're getting a little psyched, psyched out right now because we don't have that time marker. We don't have that sort of indication that the year is evolving and, you know, seasons are changing and all those things. So I know it sounds corny, but like you said, in our world, opening day is a really big deal, and it's really weird right now that we're not going to have it.
Jesse, Major League Baseball, Players Association, they're putting their heads together trying to figure out when they're going to play. I saw something that said, well, maybe June. Again, I think that's naive, but put that aside for a second. What conversations are going in? It's more complicated than, well, we'll just play a shortened season. It's accrued years for guys that would be free agents. It's, you know, cash flow. There's a bunch of different things going on right now. Summarize the conversation that's happening for us.
Yeah, there, like you said, there's a ton of factors. There's the service time question, which can affect, you know, guys' ability to hit certain arbitration years or free agency. And you know, if you play a full season this year, does that actually count as a full year of service? Whereas usually that takes about 180 days to get. And, you know, there are a lot of different things, like, you know, spring training. How much of a ramp up do we need to get? And how much do we need to go back to Florida or Arizona to get training? How long is the season? What's the schedule going to look like? If we configure a 100-game schedule, do we cut early play all together to make sure the division games stay intact? You know, right now you play every team in your division 19 times. In a truncated 82, you know, 100-game, even 110-game schedule, that now takes up a bulk of it. And you might need to cut out some games, like maybe you lose your divisional partner, whereas the Nationals were going to play all the AL West teams this year, and maybe now they just don't. Maybe they just can do all NL games. It's just a sprint to the finish, sort of like the old days before there was interleague play. So, I mean, that's just some of the conversations. But, again, like, it's that just gives you a small window into all the problems that are going on and all the issues that have to be discussed. And, like, that list can just go on and on. You probably don't have enough time in your whole show today to discuss them. So, I'm really glad I don't have to make those decisions, for sure.
Go get Jesse's book. It's called Buzzsaw. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
You know, Grant, I always said you were a smart guy.
I am a smart guy in this regard and this regard only.
We'll
much
you,
appreciated, thanks, pal. There's Jay Dock of the Washington Post. You can read his work there in the small sports section that is now tucked in to the style section. And before we move on, I want to real quick hit on the Olympics with you in the Beltway Blitz, Danny, because with the pandemic worsening, we now know that the Olympics have been pushed back. The 2020 games in Tokyo are not going to be happening until the summer of 2021 at the latest. Could happen sometime between now and then. The backdrop of this is that while in Japan things are improving immensely, they only have 1,100 confirmed cases right now, 50 times fewer than the U.S. They got already people back on subways and dining out. They had 50,000 people show up at the ceremony to light the Olympic flame in northern Japan on Sunday. It's not the case here where 17 states have been ordered to stay home and all over the world where these athletes have been trying to train. But they did finally push the Olympics back. They've got a brand new $1.4 billion national stadium in Tokyo that is not going to be used until these Olympic Games, but it happened. And I think really it happened because the athletes started demanding that it did, basically saying, we're not going to show up if you don't do this. And now the Summer Games in 2020 will not happen until, I would say, at least a half year from now, but it sounds like maybe closer to the summer of 2021.
And that's kind of what they're targeting, as I understand it. And it's the right thing to do. And the biggest reason why isn't necessarily, I mean, obviously the logistics of getting a big crowd together at this point, irresponsible, right? If we're talking even a couple months from now, there's no way that everything's going to have been suppressed, and you risk an awful lot of things. People in close confines, in Olympic Village, dragging things back to their country of origin, and sort of a renewed pandemic. But the biggest thing, and I heard Lolo Jones actually on television talking about this, is there's a complete inadequacy of training ability. In some places where everything is fine and open, as a professional, are going and able to train wherever you want. Well, in the U.S., a lot of folks are amateurs, right? And they're training at high schools and training at various spots, just kind of, you know, out of donation, generous amounts of time from people. All those facilities are closed, right? There's nowhere right now for athletes to ramp up their training to get ready for these games in an overwhelming majority of cases. And that's a huge aspect that I hadn't even thought of when it came to postponing these things.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Justin Kutcher, who calls the Wizards games on NBC Sports Washington at 1 o'clock to continue our series of your local broadcasters announcing themselves, doing household tasks. He will be making his bed live on the radio with us, calling the play-by-play of said act at 1 o'clock. Between now and then, though, we've got our movie club at 12:45. The Redskins' plan. Now that we see what they're doing, do we know exactly what they wanted to accomplish going into free agency? What do we make of what they've tried to do? And next, what is the laziest thing you've ever spent money to have someone do for you? You could have done it, but instead you just threw money at the problem and said, no, I'm not going to do this. That's next on Grant and Danny. At 12:45 today, Here on Grant and Danny on 106.7, the Fan, our movie club will return just 25 minutes from right now. The film last night, A Quiet Place. We'll give you another movie to watch this evening. Dar has put a list together that we will vote on as a show collectively and whittle down to just the one movie we end up watching. Make sure you're listening at 12:45 between now and then. Do we know what the Redskins' free agency plan was? We're working back from the result of what they've accomplished to try to figure out going in what they wanted to do. But I wanted to bounce this off of you, and if anybody wants to call in, we can open up the phones, and I have no problem. No, Danny, you don't have an issue if we take a few calls on this at this point.
Of course.
I think it's just kind of fun. But yesterday, I've been doing so many things around my house, right? Reorganized every pantry and every counter and gotten rid of more stuff in the last few days than probably ever before. And so I'm outside. I finished cleaning my shed. I take everything out of my shed. I put a couple of things back in, and I feel like, okay, I've accomplished something. And I realize, you know what my next project has to be? Is I've got a tiny little yard, okay? I live in a townhouse, and we have very little green grass. But in my little backyard, out the back door of the basement, there is grass that you could kind of cut with scissors, essentially. And it's enough little fenced in that basically I put Fiona out back. She goes to the bathroom. She comes back in, and it's over. And it's great for everyone involved. I don't have to take her on a million walks. I take her on a walk or two a day, and otherwise she could just run outside. So I tell you all that to tell you my next project that I've decided I'm going to do was I need to go around my backyard and clean up the backyard from Fiona's various times going outside to go to the bathroom. And I realized I don't want to do that. And my immediate thought was there's got to be someone I can pay to do this. Like that was my first thought. It wasn't like you're an adult. You have a dog.
Responsibility.
Right. Like you have to now clean up. This is what you do. This is part of having a dog. My first lazy thought was, I don't want to do that. I wonder, and I'm like, there's got to be a company that just comes to your house and does this. Of course there's not a company that – why would there be a company that just did that? Now, first of all, maybe someone would make $1 million if they started that company. But second, like, I started thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, that was one of my laziest thoughts that I've ever had. That, like, this is a small yard. It might take me 30 minutes. 20 minutes. It's just not a fun task, a fun job. So I'm just going to get someone else to do it. But it did get me to think, and I actually texted you this last night. I don't even know how late. It was probably like 1:30 in the morning.
Well, at my time stamp, I saw it this morning. Obviously, I was in bed and asleep when I received that text from, I usually get that. I'm used to very different late night texts from back in my 20s. But I will say that I woke up to it and I went, that's funny. The first thing
I saw what time do you have it in front of you?
Yeah.
I wonder what time I sent it.
I can tell you.
Because I know that I was laying in my bed. I was, like, thinking about the show, and I was like, things we could talk about tomorrow, whatever. And I was like, you know, that would be actually a good thing to bounce off Danny.
1:20 a.m. 1:20 a.m. was when the text came in.
Megan's like, who's texting you, Danny?
You up? Like, oh, it's Jake from State Farm.
It's just Grant from The Fan. Just a late-night text between a couple of guys who are together all day long every day. But anyway, so that was my laziest thought. So here are some things I jotted down as the laziest things I've done in the past. And I guess the question for you guys would be, what is the laziest thing that you could have accomplished or done pretty easily that you tried to pay someone to do or even just decided you weren't going to do so you had someone else do it for you? 800-636-1067. Now, you got to tell me if these work or not as, quote-unquote, the category of being lazy and kind of skirting the system. So my first one. Like for expenses or any little things I don't want to do in the past. And I would never do this anymore with Intercom. This is many years ago with CBS Radio.
This is the old Grant, yeah.
This was the old me. I paid AWOD one time $20, and I think Eric Arnold when he first started, like $20, to do one of those like company policy, like fill out 800 pages of this thing and watch these videos and click through and they have to be done by this date.
Yeah. Watch a video to make sure you don't sell anything to the Russians.
Right, exactly.
Watch a video so you don't harass anybody. We just sit in our studio and talk to each other. We're not harassing anyone.
So I was definitely like, hey, if you want to click through and get this done for me, I'll give you $20. I've done that, and I've certainly done the $20 like expense bit. The other thing I do a lot of, and I don't know, this is one I don't know if it qualifies. Most recent time I considered doing it is I went to the Burt Kreischer comedy show at DAR Constitution Hall. But when I am at venues that have really long lines for drinks or food or something like that and I want something, I'll walk up to the front of the line And I'll ask the person in, at the front. I say, hey, I'll pay for whatever you're getting. Would you mind getting me what I'd like? And sometimes they're really cool about it, and they're like, oh, wow, yeah, no problem. And then sometimes they're like, no. Or, like, people behind them get mad, like I'm cutting
they
or
get
something.
All patutsed.
When I don't know how it's that different. I'm paying for my – this is my new friend. I'm paying for their stuff and my stuff, and I'm
giving
them
my – We've been friends a long time.
Right, this is just a transaction. So it has nothing to do with you. Please butt out. Like, this has nothing to do with anything that has to do with you. Is that considered a lazy thing that you, quote-unquote, like – threw money at the problem?
Because it's not lazy. You're still actively going somewhere and doing something. It would be the equivalent of you hear someone, like a lazy move would be, let's say you're already seated in your row at the Bert Kreischer show, right? Somebody gets up and they say to their friend, that's not you, like in the same row, hey, I'm going to the concession stand. Do you want anything? And you go, hello, would you please buy me something and I'll pay for your thing? And you never leave your chair. That would be the lazy move. This is just an aggressive line cutting merge thing that you do. So I would say that's not lazy, but the other ones definitely are lazy.
By the way, I have been blown up on Twitter. Mm. No fewer, I would say, than 15 tweets from people, most of them with the same company, Duty Calls and Pooper Scooper.
Poop Scooper.
Apparently, Duty Calls is out of Fairfax. I don't know where Pooper Scooper Troopers are. There are companies that do this, so maybe my idea isn't that lazy or ridiculous after all.
It's not at all. I mean, if you don't want to get your hands dirty, no pun intended, then yeah, I mean, you can... And you could certainly do that.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, like 10 is just egregiously lazy and you're embarrassed for me, where would you rank that one?
That's not – it's disgusting. Yeah, so it's not – that's not
it's pretty gross.
Egregious at all. I mean, you're cleaning up feces. There's nothing glamorous about that at all.
What's the laziest thing you've done and you – not like that worked out against you, because I remember when you tried to take a parking cone while still backing up in your car and move it, and you ran into someone's car in our parking garage.
That's
not
the
that
one.
Time.
That's the one, by the way. Just to refresh people on what happened, I was too lazy and thought to myself, I can absolutely do this. I'll back up the car, like angle the backup so that I can pick up the parking cone and sort of move it. And but it just now in retrospect, it sounds even dumber than when I actually did it. And so I'm not looking to the right side, if that makes any sense. I'm looking out the left window and I'm kind of backing up to make it so that I don't have to get out of my car to pick up the parking cone. And as I'm backing up, I'm turning the wheel, if you can picture it, to the left so to angle my car in a certain way. Well, that makes the front end go right. I smashed into, smashed and scraped into the very nice brand spanking new BMW next to me. I did all sorts of damage to it, and it was to a member of our sales staff who is no longer with the company, but didn't change the fact that I ran into her car in the parking lot reversing out of my parking space because I was too lazy to move the parking cone manually.
I'm pretty sure it was when I was on my honeymoon, because I just remember hearing the story when I got back and being blown away. And I'm pretty sure she hated you from that point forward, or is that am I adding on to that?
No, pretty much what happened. And I was hoping for, like, one of those, you know, like Jason Bishop type treatments where, like, just somebody took care of it, you know? Like, I was like, well, maybe somebody could do something, or maybe because we know a car dealership or something like that. And someone took care of it, all right. It was my insurance company and billing, and my rates went up. That's who took care of it. And it was me who took care of it with increased costs that I'm still paying off because I had an accident inside of a parking garage with a car that wasn't moving.
That's brutal.
It's so bad.
What about laziness in terms of not wanting to get it, like do a task or a job so you paid? What is your worst case?
In my 20s when I was fun, I was so hungover one day. And I really believe it. I know everybody probably thinks this, but I'm really sure of it. That my hangovers are worse than anyone else's, and that's
I've never heard anyone say that before.
No, but I have science to back it up. It's not important. Right. I don't have enough time for the segment, but I felt like I had the worst hangovers, and so I had already gotten up and like laid in the shower for 40 minutes with a towel behind my head, and I've tried, and nothing was working. I was just in bed. It was 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. I was still laying in bed, just sort of watching, you know, like DVDs and like playing video games and doing nothing. And I got I texted my roommate, who was in the bedroom next to me. Like, he was around the house somewhere. And I said, can you please come into my room? I didn't get up. I didn't yell. I didn't, like, ask for him to come. So, like, after a few minutes, I hear him come up the stairs. And he's like, what's up? And I was like, I will give you $20 if you go downstairs and get me a Gatorade. I had some Gatorade in the fridge.
$20.
He was like, are you kidding me? He's like, I'll just get that for you. I was like, just please, please bring it to me. And, I was whispering it. I was just, like, hiding under the pillows, made a fort. And so he took $20 out of my wallet and brought me a citrus cooler Gatorade from downstairs.
I've never really gotten bad hangovers. The worst I ever got was actually this year, and it was when I went out with you and your brother-in-law. And I decided to have just a couple drinks at the end of the night that we shouldn't have had. And I paid for it the entire next day.
Oh, at the holiday party?
Yes.
Is that right?
That was my worst hangover I have ever had in my life this December.
I'm responsible for a lot over the last 6 months for you.
It was a problem
next
day. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. We're with you until 2 today. You can tell us at 800-636-1067 about the time that you were lazy and embarrassed, but you paid for someone to do something you easily could have done yourself. Also, next, I want to get into the Redskins' plan now that we see what they're doing in free agency. What do we think they were thinking going into this process? You're listening to G&D. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. You can tweet us throughout the show at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, and we'll get to some of your responses as we go. Among them coming in, Carl says, in the food service industry, it is not uncommon at the end of the night to give someone like half of your tips to do about 10 to 15 minutes of work so you can leave. He says he's seen people pay like $50 for what amounted to 10 minutes or so of work at the end of a long night's shift. Now, that's interesting, but I get that. I mean, you're ready to go home. You got plans. You want to get out of there. Hey, man, take care of this for me. No, I'm not going to do that. All right, here's $25.
And
you throw them some cash.
A third of the money I made. So I haven't done a ton of waiting tables over the years, but one of the things I did, I had a job at a health club after my freshman year of school, and they had their own kind of like health restaurant in there. And so guys that had been working all morning and were like sick of it and just looking to get out of there, that's how I ended up making like a third of my money. I didn't get paid very much at all, but that was this kind of the smart thing. I was like, yeah, I'm here. I'm happy to do it for you. So they're kicking me $10, $15, et cetera, just to do something they didn't really feel like doing. And I was there anyway. So that actually worked out really well.
Latest NFL news of the day, and this is pretty minor from just around noon. The Minnesota Vikings have signed Tajay Sharpe to a one-year contract. Sharpe's 25, had 25 catches for about 330 yards and 4 touchdowns last season with the Titans. He's been in Tennessee for 4 years, so now he goes to the Vikings. They don't have a number 2 wide receiver right now. Remember, Adam Thielen's their number 1. Stephon Diggs was their 2 over the last few years. Their best wideout last year with Thielen hurting. And he was the catalyst that made the big plays and jump-started that offense. He was a real important defibrillator for them in a lot of ways. He was traded to the Buffalo Bills in exchange for 4 draft picks, including a first-rounder. And I think a lot of people got the trade because he would become a malcontent and wanted out. But at the same time, they went from having one of, if not the best, wide receiver tandems in football to not being in the top 20 or 25 probably in that category. And I don't know who their number 2 is going to be. I guess they can use their first-round pick or one of the 2 they have now, getting one from Buffalo, on a wide receiver who's going to start next to Thielen. That's my guess. I mean, it would be silly not to take a wide out in this draft class if you're the Vikings.
Again, and it's a good class, and it's deep. I mean, the guys at the top, I mean, it's eye of the beholder, whether you like CeeDee Lamb or Ruggs or, Jerry Jeudy or whomever, but there's going to be some good value on the board. I think Minnesota, you're right, probably does need a number 2, maybe not a co-1, and that just didn't work out with Diggs and Thielen, right? Because it was somebody was going to be annoyed. Remember, Cousins kind of had to, like, run from camp to camp or, like, you know, locker to locker to make sure Thielen was okay. He was mad at one point. Then Diggs was irritated at one point. I mean, it was a lot to deal with. So you need a solid, 700 to 800 yard number 2 receiver there to make that offense hum.
12:45, 7 minutes from now, our movie club. Dar's got your list today, and we will weed through that list and determine a movie to watch after breaking down last night's film, which we all watched together alone, if you can figure that out. The movie last night was really, really good. So we got full breakdowns coming up of a Silent Place. A Quiet Place. What, quiet is place. Silent or quiet?
It's a very quiet? Silent place in The Quiet Place.
Yeah, A Quiet Place was the movie last night. But before we get to that, working back from what the Redskins have done in free agency, what do you think their plan was coming in? Because what I've figured is this. They didn't want to spend much money. They certainly didn't want to overpay anybody. They took their chance on Amari Cooper, but outside of him, they basically said, we're not breaking the bank. They want guys who are versatile. You know, they got a lineman who can play center and guard. They got some linebackers that can play some inside, some outside. They got some DBs who could play corner and safety. I think they wanted multiple position flexibility and players outside of Kendall Fuller who cost them almost nothing, and to not spend a whole lot or necessarily be major players in trying to immediately upgrade this season. That's kind of the way I see their pre-free agency meetings having gone, just based on the result, working back from what they actually did. What about you?
Here's what I think the plan was. I think it was two-pronged, or kind of two guiding principles. Number one, who is going to be here to help us in two seasons? Who's going to be here as part of a rebuild? Who's going to be the core? That's how you can explain going to try to sign Amari Cooper and offering him outrageous amounts of money. If they don't fit that first criteria, who's cheap and available? Because we're not going to get stuck on bad deals. No bad deals, I think, was their second mantra, right? So it's a bunch
of let's not lose any deals. We may not win many, but let's not look bad in 2 years for anything that we signed.
Exactly. And again, go back to the Bruce Allen era. The hallmark was, well, we can't get the superstar. We can't get a real difference maker. We're going to overpay Jason Hatcher. We'll overpay, you know, Steven Paya, Kendall Reyes, and all these other guys that weren't any good, but you overpaid them. You paid mediocre to poor players, rotational guys, like starters or stars, and it hamstrung you, and your talent level just simply wasn't good enough to compete with the upper echelon of the NFL. If you can't get a stud, you're not just going to pay because he's the best available. Again, I think tight end is the perfect example of this. The tight end market stunk. It did. It was not very good. Everybody came with a huge wrinkle or was basically just okay. Austin Hooper is a perfectly fine player. You're not bad if you've got Austin Hooper. But if they missed out on Hooper, which they did, they weren't just going to give that same amount of money or close to it to the next best tight end because that was just the next best guy available. They were not going to get stuck with a bad contract. So I loved their approach, I've loved their approach, by the way, for the most part here. You re-sign Brandon Scherff, you're going to pay him the franchise tag amount of money if you can't get a long-term deal done. And then everybody else is veteran, short-term, low money, rotational piece. I am A-okay with that. So I think their first prong was, we'll go after some big fish if we think the guy is going to be good in a couple of seasons when we think we've cleansed the old.
There's only one of those, though, Amari.
Yeah. And that's how I'm kind of making this fit. And they went after Hooper as well, it sounded like, but they weren't close.
But not in a way that allowed them to be really in the bidding. I mean, they weren't close to getting him, which shocked me. Mm-hmm. I think I'm somewhere in between, probably. I'm with you that I have no problem with this being the plan and with very clearly the determination they made that they're not trying to win this year, which I don't have a problem with that. We've talked about this in the past. You got a culture to clean up. There's a way to build something from the ground up. I don't think you have to take 3-4 years to tear everything down to the studs in the NFL, but I understand why you would come in if you're Ron Rivera and not try to overnight get a lot better, particularly with your quarterback situation and the unknown still of Dwayne Haskins. So I have no problem with that. I think you could have had your cake and eat it too, where you go do a lot of this 1 and 2 year stuff on the cheap, but you also get Austin Hooper at a position of need, or you get a wide receiver. Doesn't have to be Amari Cooper at $22 million, but it could have been one of the next best guys at 9 or 10, where you go out and you do something at tight end if it's not Hooper for $7 million or $8 million or $6 million a year. There's probably a middle ground I would have liked better in terms of just adding talent and being a better roster, but they kind of went to the extreme of not doing that. And I have no problem whatsoever with what seems like it being a multi-year building, multi-pronged approach. With the money that they had at their disposal, I thought they would have been a little bit more active in some of the bigger names available. And we'll get to our Grant and Danny Movie Club next. And at 1 o'clock today, at the top of the hour, just about 17 minutes from now, Justin Kutcher, who calls Wizards games on NBC Sports Washington, to do play-by-play of himself making his bed. You're listening to The Fan. Justin Kutcher, the call play-by-play of himself doing a household task at 1. We're Grant and Danny. That's 12 minutes out. It is time for the G&D Movie Club. Movie number 6 last night was A Quiet Place, the 2018 drama, horror, sci-fi thriller, 90 minutes in runtime, directed by John Krasinski, written by Brian Woods and Scott Beck, starring Krasinski and Emily Blunt, his wife in real life, who he's married to in the film. Danny, I'd never seen it. I loved this movie. I don't like horror movies. I don't even know if I'd qualify it that. That is the genre, I guess, that it is put in. But it was more suspense and more, there are movies that like make you anxious and keep you tense the entire time, and I wouldn't call them horror movies. Like, there's not a ton of jumping or being scared as much as there is not knowing what's going to happen and being worried for the actors, the actresses. And this is more B than A, but darn if this wasn't good. And the thing I come back to, and I mentioned this to you earlier, the 90-minute runtime, an hour and a half, was perfect. It makes me think that every movie is too long after watching this.
So I echo everything you said. There are a number of points I want to make, and I'll try to do them quickly to give everybody a chance to kind of weigh in here. They do something early on in this film where you know what the stakes are. In other words, if this is like a Disney version or a everything's going to be okay version, like everybody makes it, right? And you don't really feel the stakes. They have the incident at the beginning of the film, right, which also sets up a bunch of other things. You know what I'm talking about if you've seen it, where you go, oh, everyone's at risk. Nobody's going to come out, you know, no one's guaranteed to come out clean just because we like them in this story. That also sets up a great theme, because this is a horror movie or suspense movie, whatever you want to call it, with heart. I mean, so the oldest daughter feels like she's not, you know, she feels guilty from what happened, obviously. She feels like, you know, the John Krasinski's character doesn't love her in the same way because of what happened, because of how she was at fault, etc. And then ultimately she becomes the hero, kind of inadvertently, but it happens. And she also happens to find out the redemption of the dad, aka when he sacrifices himself, but also finds out behind the scenes what he'd been tirelessly in all of his spare time working on to help her. So she realizes A, that she was loved, and B, she ends up being the hero of this whole thing, which I love so much. But I think there are two kinds of horror movies, GP. It doesn't say one's better than the other, but I think this is the better version of number two. And here's where I'm going. Number one, we have to have this big origin story. We figure out what the weakness is or what the motivation is or what they want or whatever it is, whether it's, you know, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, It, whatever, right? Like, you how do we kill it? What are we doing? What's happening? And there's a whole, you know, anthology to it. We have to get all the exposition. Or there's this thing is out here. We don't know what the hell's going on or why, and we just have to survive. And this is B, and it's the best version.
I also love that you see the bad guy, the creature, right away at the beginning. You know, there's so many movies where you don't know what it is. And in the first few minutes, you see that bad guy. In the same scene you're talking about that you referenced that was so important to kind of setting up the stakes. I also loved a couple other things about this movie. I thought the child actors were excellent.
Excellent.
In fact, I Googled them last night just to look them up to see what else they've done, because I thought, well, these are going to be superstars. And it makes sense. The girl who in the movie is so good is actually a deaf actress.
Millicent
in a
Simmons.
Movie where nobody's talking. So that I was like, okay, that's perfect job script, basically putting her in the movie. And I believe her brother in the movie is in a bunch of stuff that has come out since. So they're at the beginning of what could be very successful careers. I thought they were really good. You can tell the chemistry on screen between John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, who are married. Mm-hmm. I thought that worked really well. They don't have to talk for you to see their emotion and that chemistry, which was awesome. But I also love there's really no exposition, like a beginning of this movie, like an exposition or something where they have to describe everything verbally and take you through. There's none of that. And I think that's how they got a 90-minute movie. They show you within 5 minutes everything that's going on. You need no background information, and you're hooked on the characters. It's done. Yep. Really, really, really
you
well.
You know, if you talk, you're dead. If there's noise, you're dead. You figure that out very quickly, and now let's have a movie.
All right, so Thom and Dar are saying they are ready to move on to tonight's film. So without further ado, let's do that. A Quiet Place last night. Let's see what we're watching tonight. Brendan, you were responsible for putting together our list today.
So who's our first veto, or our vetoer?
However Brendan wants to do it. What
okay,
do you got?
Go ahead.
I want to save Danny for last. So let's go with Grant first.
Here we go.
Okay.
Okay, Grant.
Is there a genre here, by the way?
Yeah, it's going to be cheesy action movies.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Very good.
So number one, Hurricane Heist.
Ooh, I've never seen that. I'll say yes.
Okay. Spencer Confidential.
Yes.
Six Underground.
Yes.
2012.
See, here's the problem, Dar, is I want, like, we both like cheesy action movies. I'll say no to 2012.
American Assassin.
Ooh, American Assassin. What is that one?
What is that?
It's the Michael Keaton is training the kid from Maze Runner to be an assassin.
No, from that's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah. That's a no for me.
From Paris with Love.
No.
Bright.
Yes.
Resident Evil Apocalypse.
Definitely not.
21.
Yes.
Takers.
Ooh, Takers is good. I haven't seen that in forever. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. And last but not least, National Treasure.
No.
Okay. Bobby, I guess you're up next.
I'm really mad that National Treasure just got knocked off the board.
I regretted it as soon as I said it. I don't know if we can go back. But
yeah, let's take it back.
Yeah, our lives are filled with regret.
We can take it back. No regret.
If you guys are fine with that, then I'll put it back on there.
Danny's just going to say no anyway, so what does it matter?
What does it matter?
All right, let's go.
Thami, Hurricane Heist.
No.
Oh, come on. Spencer Confidential.
Yes.
Okay. Six Underground.
Yes.
Bright.
Yes.
21.
No.
Takers.
Yes.
National Treasure.
Yes.
Wow, Danny, he didn't really pare this down at all for you. Let's see what you can do.
All right, go ahead.
Hurricane Heist. Oh, wait, no, he said no to Hurricane Heist. Spencer Confidential.
No.
Okay. Six Underground.
No, I've already seen it.
Okay. Bright.
Yes.
Okay. Takers.
I've never seen that. I'm not even sure what it is, but you guys seem enthused
about
it.
I think Paul Walker's in it.
Yeah, it's like Paul Walker, T.I.
It's a bad action movie.
Wait, there's a rapper as a co-star? That's a hard pass. That's a no.
They call themselves the Black Italian Job in the movie.
Do they?
Yeah.
All right, I'm good on that. So no.
And last but not least, National Treasure.
Oh, as much as it pains me to say this, I'm going to say no.
So that means Bright's the winner.
Bright,
you don't even
baby.
Have to go to the whatever they call themselves now.
Bright is the film we watch, movie number 7 tonight, and that's how we do it. It's very scientific on the Grant and Danny Movie Club.
Yes, it is.
Each day, it's just like the one before, we leave no stones unturned. The movies we're now watching are just so random, but I love it.
They totally are.
It's working out.
This one's like a Quiet Place. This is like the sort of reverse superhero movie. This is the like apocalyptic superhero movie that's supposed to be pretty intense. I actually wanted to see it.
All right, so here we are. Bright is the movie. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Justin Sutcher calls Wizards games on NBC Sports Washington.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.